Let's look again in the 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. A lot of different men in the Bible and characteristics, but they're all under three headings in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. We read about the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Now the natural man is the man in Adam, the man who is still unsaved. Then we read in the same chapter in verse 15, but he that is spiritual, that's the spiritual man, the one that's been born again, the one that has new life, that's in Christ. So you have a natural man who is not a Christian, an unsaved person. You have a spiritual man who has been born again and has spiritual life. And in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, verse number 1, we have the carnal man. Brethren, I could not speak unto you as spiritual men, but as unto carnal. Now the carnal man is a Christian who lives like a natural man. The carnal man, a Christian who lives like a natural man. Now with that in view, let's look in Romans chapter number 7, and we're going to see those three men. The natural man, the carnal man, and the spiritual man. In Romans chapter 7, the first 6 verses of this chapter is describing the natural man that we were in Christ. And that natural man is said to have been crucified with Christ. Gives an illustration of a woman being married to a husband, but the husband dies, so she's free to go be married to another. In these 6 verses, the first 6 verses, we have the natural man that we were in Adam having been crucified with Christ. From verse 7 on to the end of verse 14, we have the carnal man, which is a Christian trying to live a Christian life by natural means, by natural means. And he ends up in verse number 14, Paul ends up saying, but I am carnal, sold unto sin. That is, he's a Christian, but he's personifying himself as living a carnal life. Then from verse 15 on in this chapter, you have the spirituality of this man, or the spiritual man, coming out. And I want to look at this a little bit. Just very briefly in verse 15, I wonder how this fits my life and your life. For that which I do, I allow not. Let me paraphrase that. The things that I do, I don't want to do. For what things I would like to do, those are the things that I don't do. Do you have that problem? For that which I do, I don't really want to do it. But what I would like to do, that's what I don't do. I think we all have that problem, don't we? We like to do certain things, but we can't. But what I hate, that's what I do. Ever lose your temper? And you hate yourself for doing it, but you still do it. And you do it again. Do you ever say mean words, unkind words? Then you say, what did I do that for? I hate to do that, but you still do it. Now let's go on. If then I do that which I would not, if I do the things that I don't want to do, I consent that the law is good. The law tells me I shouldn't covet in verse number 7. But I catch myself coveting. I don't want to covet things. But he says, I catch myself coveting. So the law is telling me I'm coveting things and it's good and that's telling me I shouldn't do those things. Now then, it is no more I that do it. This I here is the new I. The I that's been regenerated. The eye of verse 22, the inward man. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now there is no more eye that do it, but it's a sin that dwelleth in me. See, I've got the will to do it, Paul says, but I haven't got the power to do it. I've got the will not to do certain things, but I haven't got the power to resist doing those things. Now, this is not the normal Christian life. It is normal, but it shouldn't be normal. It's abnormal. It's not what it should be. This is not Paul's life. He's trying to illustrate between two great chapters in Romans, chapter 6 and chapter 8, he's trying to illustrate that the principle of living after the flesh, trying to live your Christian life after the flesh and after the law, doesn't work. It just doesn't work. You end up a complete failure. See? So, we can go on here. And he starts making some conclusions here, and this is bringing out the spirituality of the person. Now he says, it's no more I in verse 17 that do these things, but it's a principle of sin that's dwelling in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Now the word flesh is used different ways in the Bible, but in this particular verse, when Paul speaks about my flesh, and he's not talking about his human life, and he's not talking about his physical flesh, you can just substitute the word self. I know that in me, that is in myself, dwelleth no good thing. Now that's a good conclusion to come to. For he says, for to will is present with me. I want to do what's right. But how to perform that, which is good, I don't find it in myself. It's not there. I haven't got the ability to do it. I haven't got the power to do it. For the good that I would do, that's what I don't do. But the evil which I would not do, that's what I do do. Isn't that a seesaw battle? Now that's most Christians are living in this particular chapter. Paul didn't live his life in this chapter. Far from it. If you stop reading in this chapter in Romans, you'd come to the conclusion that the Christian life was not a victorious life at all. It was not a life of overcoming. It was not a life of living by the power of the gospel. But it was just a miserable seesaw battle back and forth. I want to do what's right, but I can't. I do things I hate. I don't want to do those things. And it's just a seesaw battle. So he says in verse 21, I find then a law, a principle, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. When I would do the right thing, something gets in the way and makes me do the wrong thing. But then he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, in my bodily members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And he concludes, what a wretched man I am. Who's going to deliver me from the body of this death? One of the most dismal, discouraging, defeated portions of Scripture I could ever read. And yet, so true in the lives of many of us at times, and all of us, in some measure. Now, the answer, of course, is in verse number 18. I know that in me, that is in myself, there dwells no good thing. Three times in the Bible we read about the just, the saved, living by faith. In Romans, Galatians, and the book of Hebrews. The just is in the book of Romans. Shall live is in the book of Galatians. By faith is in the book of Hebrews. We are saved by faith. And faith doesn't start until we get to the end of our resources. Most of us, before we're saved, we try our best to make ourselves acceptable to God. We do what we can and hope we'll make it okay. But faith never starts until we get to the end of our resources. And then we get to the place where we realize there's nothing we can do except trust in the Lord. And that's when you get saved. Now, when you go over into our Christian lives, it's the same thing. Somehow we think we're going to live the Christian life by our self-efforts under some type of law, and we're going to live that kind of a life. We're going to live as a life that doesn't work that way. Paul got the victory first by realizing that in himself there dwelleth no good thing. And all the self-effort that he could put forth could not enable him to do good when that evil got in the way, or to do the things that he loved to do, but he couldn't do. He never got to the end of this type of a reasoning until he found out that in me, that is in myself, dwelleth no good thing. So when you get over in chapter 8, you read about in chapter 8, you read the victory that we get in Christ. And there in verse number 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, the law of sin and death is back in Romans chapter 7. That's what he raised about in verse 22. I delight in the law, verse 23. I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity of the law of sin which is in my members. So he says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the principle of living by the Spirit and not by the flesh, the principle of living a spiritual life, that the spiritual life that we have in union with Christ Jesus in heaven above, has made me free from the law of sin and death that works through my flesh. So he's using two principles here. One, living by the Spirit of God, and the other one, living by the flesh. Romans 7 is living by the flesh. And Paul says, in myself, in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. I've got the will to do, but I haven't got the power to do it. And I've got the will not to do certain bad things, but I end up doing it. So he says there's a principle, there's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that's made me free from the law of sin and death. Now, in verse number 3, what the law could not do back in chapter 7 for me, in that it was weak through my flesh, myself, God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Now, we're never told that unsaved people have sinful flesh. They are totally corrupt. They are fully corrupt. Sinful flesh has to do with sin in the life of a Christian. And the Lord Jesus not only died for our sins that we committed, and we're forgiven of them, but he died to deliver us from sin in our flesh. And that's what Romans chapter 7 is, sin in his flesh. So he says, what the law could not do, then it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. See, Christ died for my sins. That's wonderful. But Christ died for me, the sinner. That's more wonderful. We enter into forgiveness by trusting in what he has done with our sins on the cross. But we enter into deliverance by trusting in what he's done for us or with us on the cross. And there are two principles in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Conditional. who walk not after the flesh, that's Romans 7, but walks after the Spirit, that's Romans 8. Now the word walk just means conducts my life by the Spirit. Now I said earlier that the principle of living by faith or walking in the Spirit begins when we get to the end of ourselves. When we can do things in faith in Christ alone, we can do things as being enabled by the Spirit of God alone, the things that we couldn't do by the flesh, we can do by the Spirit. And the difference is walking or conducting my life after the Spirit or conducting my life after the flesh. Conducting our life after the flesh is defeat, it's failure. Conducting my life after the things of the Spirit is victory, more than conquerors through Christ who loved us and gave himself for us. But we have to get to the end of the flesh in order to get into the walk of the Spirit. Now, in verse 5, it's a mental thing. And you go back into chapter 5, 6, 7 rather, and you'll notice in verse 25 how that it refers to the mind. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so then with the mind I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh I can only serve the law of sin. Now, you got in chapter 8, you got two minds in verse number 5. Two ways of thinking. One is, for they that are after the flesh, they mind, they think about the things of the flesh. They that are after self-interest and selfish things, they mind the things of self. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So the key is to get to the end of the self life, the flesh life, the self life, and as Paul says in Philippians 3, to have no confidence in the flesh at all. And that's when we can trust and depend on the leading, the guiding of the Spirit, or that we can live by faith. Self effort and faith are opposites one to another. Self-effort is a hindrance to our faith. When we get to the end of self, then we can trust and have confidence in the Lord. So there are two minds. There's the mind of the things of the flesh, and there's the mind of the things of the Spirit. It's good to think about what you think about most of the time. What your mind is occupied with. If you fill your mind with the things of this world, whether they're evil or whether they aren't, and your mind is all occupied with the things of this world, you're not going to live in Romans chapter 8. You're going to live in Romans chapter 7. You're going to live a defeated life. So it's a mental thing. It's the law of my mind in verse 23 of chapter 7. It's the mind after Christ in 1 Corinthians 2 and 15 and 16. So it goes on to say, two minds. That will result in two different walks in verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. As our minds are occupied with the things of the Spirit of God, and we see that in ourselves there's no good thing, and we're occupied with the things of the Spirit of God, then that enables us to walk after the things of the Spirit. That enables the Spirit of God to lead us. That enables us to live by faith. And whatever we do it with confidence in the Lord. We're not passive. We're very active and obedient to the Lord, but we're not obedient from the self point. We're obedient because the Spirit of God is working in us. So you've got two minds in verse number 5. And you've got two walks in verse number 4. And the mind that's after the things of the Spirit is going to walk after the things of the Spirit. The mind that's after the things of the flesh is going to walk after the things of the flesh. And you've got two results in verse 6. To be carnally minded, fleshly minded, death. We're going to die out to the things of the Lord. To be spiritually minded, that's the mind of things of the Spirit. It's going to be life and peace. Two results. Two minds, the carnal mind, the spiritual mind. Two walks. Walking after the flesh, walking after the Spirit. Two results. The carnal mind, you'll die out to the things of the Lord. The spiritual mind, be life and peace. Look in verse number 8. Verse number 12, rather. He makes a little summary of what he just said. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors to not to the flesh. We don't owe the flesh anything. We put the flesh in the place of crucifixion with Christ. Put the self-life in the crucifixion, in the place of crucifixion with Christ. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. That is to live after the flesh, to walk after the flesh. If you live after the flesh, you're going to die. You're going to die out to the things of the Lord. You're not going to die eternally, because you have eternal life. But you're going to die out spiritually. Instead of being a spiritual believer, you're going to be a carnal believer. You're going to live a carnal life. And you're going to die out to the things of the Lord. But if ye through the Spirit, not through the flesh, flesh never crucifies flesh. It's the Spirit of God that mortifies, that crucifies, puts to death the deeds of the body, then you're going to live. Simple. So it's occupation, the mind, the regenerated mind, the renewed mind, that's occupied with the things of the Spirit of God. And of course, that is the Word of God and the things of the Lord. It's occupation, our minds being occupied with the things of the Lord, that's going to enable us to walk after the Spirit of God. And it's going to enable us to live, to have a spirituality that is full of life and peace. And it's going to enable us, as he says in verse number, chapter 8, in verse number 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So may the Lord help us. When we get that seesaw battle of wanting to do right and not being able to, wanting to refrain from doing something we shouldn't do, but we're not able to realize that we're not going to conquer that by self-effort, that in our flesh dwelleth no good thing. We have to turn to the way of the Lord and be occupied with the things of the Spirit of God and the things of God, that will enable us to live a life by faith and confidence in the Lord, and be led by the Spirit, and be overcomers in the things of the flesh. Shall we pray? Father, we thank Thee for the great provision that Thou hast made for us, not only as sinners, but as saints. We ever thank Thee, Father, that Thou hast made every provision for us to deliver us from this present evil world, and to deliver us from the self-life, and enable us to live lives that are Christ-centered and lives that are led and full of the Spirit of God. And we ever pray it might be so in our lives, to help us to realize that we can do nothing of ourselves. Only as we abide as a branch of the vine can we draw on the strength, the power of the vine, and produce fruit for Thee. So we ask Thy blessing upon each one of us, upon Thy people everywhere, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.